required. And he was saying, I think only one devotee, almost all of us will dream in English. But he was saying only Jayapataka Maharaj dreams in Bengali. The point is, whatever is the essence has to be accepted, and that will be taught by an advanced devotee. Therefore, we always have to have a guidance. Otherwise, anytime we can make a mistake. Recently, before we came here, there was a discussion, you know, with Krishnachandra Prabhu and other deans in Mumbai. Saying this counselor system is a great boon for devotees. But then again, this same system, if it is not understood, the spirit behind it, it can be misused. Is it bad if somebody is not a counselor, he cannot be a devotee? Sometimes, you know, we have this feeling, oh, if you are not part of this, how can you be a devotee? Or somebody is not visiting Radha Gopina temple, visit some other temple, can he not become, you know, friendly to devotees from this temple? Again, this is called as blunt discrimination. Discrimination from the superficial point of view. Just because I am a counselor, it doesn't mean that I am a pure devotee. Just because I am an initiated devotee, that's what Gopinath Prabhu said. In Vrindavan, they were discussing, Brahmananda Prabhu was talking about, you know, the generic, we should make a book on how I came to Krishna consciousness. And afterwards, Jayadeva Maharaj spoke. He said, actually, we should write a book on how I stayed in devotional service. And that is most important. So therefore, you know, it's a very important principle that nothing should be used, and material world means anything. Even the whole system of Guru Parampara can be misused. And Ramanujacharya explains why the whole knowledge is lost, why it appears that the knowledge is lost, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, because of the laziness of the disciples in not brushing up all the time regularly. Once they become lazy, then only they'll give the externals, because to give and practice externals, it doesn't require much dynamics. It requires a lot of comforts. But to practice essence, it requires a lot of, you know, it's a very challenging thing. So therefore he writes, parampara can be lost when the disciples become lazy. And then he waters down everything. Oh, this is also okay, that is also okay. You keep praising. No, you understand now, he is the most compassionate. That can happen, same thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. He says, Lord Chaitanya, the Messiah of Nadia and the Messiah of Jerusalem, they should not be blamed for the defects of the followers. Even if they are most compassionate, but if they justify our nonsense in their compassionate, then again it is Bharagrahi, not Bhavagrahi. So therefore, it's a very challenging situation. All the time we need guidance. That's right in the front. Comment or question? But Ganesh is sitting there, but we don't have any separate worship for him. In any traditional Vaishnava temple, if you go to any temple,
you know, to make it more authentic, there has to be Jai Vijay or Garuda and Hanuman. There has to be Ganesh.
But how much attention accepting everyone. Standing in line. Many times we have seen standing in line, and by seeing, you know, devotees will be scared. You know, they will go and complain. 2 hours line. Rather than standing in line for 2 hours, distribute Ganesh's books in that same line. You will get more benefit. Therefore, we don't encourage to separately worship. But at the same time, we give this understanding that they should not be offended. We discuss this. And Iskcon again in Prabhupada spoke how one should exclusively worship Krishna. That was taken as exclusive worship of Krishna means blasphemy everybody else. Sometimes we tell that when you criticize other, that means you have conviction on in Krishna. That is a different thing. One is negative and one positive. Only positive approach is important. That makes us harsh. Lord Chaitanya visited all the temples, but not specifically on the day when he was going to South India. If there is a huge main temple, he visited it, seeing them as the servant of Krishna. He had no lack of faith. He is Krishna and so he is teaching, so therefore the point is, again, because of our background, because of this anartha, you know, it takes long time to completely have full conviction. I need to worship only Krishna. All the energy should be given to Krishna. Let me serve Krishna and others, let me respect them. There is no need to separately worship. There is no need for me to go to, you know, here those who come to worship Badrinath. They go around everywhere. All the places. Once in the rest of energy. Once you worship the Supreme Lord, there is no need. Raghunath Das Goswami says, since I have been attracted to Krishna, I don't even care for Narayan. But that doesn't mean that he does not respect me. So this has to be understood again. Worship of Krishna doesn't mean blasphemy the demigods. And respect the demigod doesn't mean that on the same platform Krishna is also there, Ganesh is also there, and we worship together. We are respecting, you know, Krishna is alone. That is the point. No, he became ghost. I didn't say he became ghost. Different between us and, you know, that person was, he was not even a practitioner. That was his profession. He could only maintain his family by worshipping, at least act as if he was worshipping. He was in a proxy pujari. Sometimes we see, you know, people, they have proxy for my, on my behalf you chant this many rounds. So you have to chant your own rounds and he has to chant his own rounds. Even he will not get benefit because he is chanting for somebody else for money. And because you are not chanting your own rounds, you will not get benefit of his chanting. So therefore the difference is, we are also chanting offensively many times. But there is a struggle. We are like warriors, a very insignificant jawans, warriors, fighting the big mayavi enemy. But because there is at least some sincere desire to be, there is a little sincere desire, honest desire to become a devotee, our efforts itself is pleasing to Krishna. In bhakti, it is not important you become successful or not. What is important in bhakti is the endeavor. The effort itself is the success. And you should never give up, should not become frustrated, keep endeavoring. And as much as you endeavor, you will realize how much anarthas are there. Rupa Goswami explains. What is that? What is it doing? Ato sadhu sangha. Ato shraddha tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya tata anartha nivritti. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we do not know what is anartha. Not that their meaning we do not know, but actually do not know what is anartha in our heart. Therefore, when people come, you know, first thing, when they talk to devotees, I am also a devotee. Kitne saal se main bhakti karta hu. I am also Krishna's devotee. I get dreams of Krishna. All these things. But when he actually starts chanting Hare Krishna, the next thing he says, I am not a devotee. I thought I was a devotee. And then next thing what happens is anartha nivritti involves, first thing is to know that you have anarthas. And next thing is to know that what anarthas you have. And third thing to know that you cannot on your own overcome the anarthas. So anartha only has so many platforms. Then comes nista. Then comes ruchi. I remember when we had this meeting in MCR one. We try to do every year assessing our performance in regards to sadhana, in regards to dealing. And first of all, a devotee himself has to assess, and all others will assess him. And one devotee wrote, you know, he gave 8 marks on one of his activity, very considered he was very strong. And that was his chanting. He gave 8 marks for himself. He said, this is not my very much problem. I can chant nicely, sleeping problem is not there. And when he received marks from others, all other TMC, average 3 marks he got. Average 3 marks. When he realized, actually this is my biggest anartha. I was thinking this is my greatest strength, but this is my greatest weakness. Many times this happens. What is our anartha is taken as our strength. Sometimes you see some devotees are very aggressive in their approach, in preaching, in regards to being very blunt in presenting Krishna consciousness. And that means, this is my strength. I make so many devotees like this. But then you see the reaction to those whom you preach, they will not tell him because they are scared of him. They will go to somebody else. Say, well, Prabhuji is too much. And in that, a senior devotee goes and talks to the person who is preaching. Prabhuji, you think this is your strength, but this is your biggest weakness. You are being harsh. Then you realize, I was thinking this is my strength. So we have got so many confusions in our life. What is right and what is wrong? And that can be detected by another devotee who is always watchful, observing us. Therefore, all of our devotional activities should be performed not privately, in public. When you do it in public, in the association of devotees, at least there is a care. One time, Navaigendra Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why do you chastise your disciples? And Prabhupada is in good mood. He is always in good mood, but sometimes a devotee has confusion. What is good mood and what is not good mood? So he asked him, Prabhupada, why do you chastise? He said, I chastise because only one who has a master can be given attention. Anatha means one is an orphan. Nobody loves him and nobody chastises him. But if somebody is being loved, he is affectionately handling his child. So therefore, sometimes he chastises and sometimes he loves. He says, that is natural. You are not being orphan. We have a person. So therefore, all of our devotional activities should not be a private affair. Because sometimes you say, no, I have taken a secret vow. Then there is some problem. Let it known to the devotees. If they give their blessings, I am doing Chaturmas. You remember one time, some devotees were doing Chaturmas in the ashram. And the authorities were saying, no need to do it. But they were insisting. And ultimately it was taken to Raghunath Maharaj. And he said, when you don't have the blessing, if you do it, you will not get any benefit. You are feasting on your fasting. Better you feast on food and remain humble. You are feasting on your false ego, thinking that I am being separate. So therefore, any activity we do in devotional service, let it be public. Not in the sense that, you know, I am doing this much, I am doing that much. When you say like that, devotees say, hey, this is not from the regular thing, you are doing something, you are being a separatist. So they will warn us. That is most important. Because on our own, when you become a recluse, we have seen, you know, it is an experience of devotees when you become, we had one devotee in the ashram. He would get up at 2 o'clock and sit near the tulsi, chant vigorously 16 rounds, and then, you know, learn many shlokas, then again come and sleep, again come and chant with devotees, and that chanting was almost sleeping. Because he got up at 2 o'clock. And so many times, you know, Devamrita was our president, would make him sit like a small child, would tell him why he should not do this. But he was so adamant, thinking that, you know, you guys are not taking devotional seriously. You would not say that, that was his disposition. And within 6 months, he left thinking that, you know, this place is not, there is no fire of devotional service. He went to Vrindavan. He stayed in Barsana and he thought that Barsana also there is too much of noise. So he went to another remote village. And ultimately, you know, he comes now sometime to the temple. Now some in the remote part of the world, is in Austria. He is not chanting also now. Why? Because there was a pride. Another devotee, this was also a classic case. One brahmachari told that this happened in Hyderabad. This brahmachari was living with 3 Prabhupada disciples in one room. And again he tried the same thing, getting up early, disturbing other devotees, chanting extra rounds. And naturally when you do something much than others, you start looking others down. Sleeping till 4 o'clock. Even though they are doing all the things whatever Prabhupada has given, you know, looking them down. It's like God uncle, Prabhupada, his Guru's God brothers. He gave up. He went to Barsana. He went to Radhakund. Every day chanting 64 rounds. Hitting once a day. He did for 1 year. And this devotee who was his friend, he would meet him regularly in Radhakund. And next year when he saw, he was not there. And third year he was going for a different village program. And he saw the same guy, same boy, who was chanting 64 rounds. He was tying betel nets now. He had opened a BD shop. There is chanting 64 rounds in Radhakund and there is selling BDs and cigarette in your village. So therefore separatism is also very dangerous. So we need guidance and association of the devotees. Yes, Kutana Prabhu. That means he's not preaching really. I remember when once there was a big program and Maharaj had to give a lecture and he said giving a talk is a very humbling experience. He said after giving a lecture you don't feel that you are really fallen. If you feel that you have achieved something, he said there is very very big problem in your preaching. Because what do you give to people? Not the information. Information giving is very dangerous. What you give is your consciousness. And whatever you give to your those who are hearing you, you know, they take on to your consciousness and they become like you. Therefore, if you preach with this understanding, you know, I am great, then it is finished. One, I don't know I should use this or not, but anyway, because it has been spoken. And if somebody is so proud of his knowledge, and he's quoting from here, quoting from there, you know, he's exhibiting that pride. One proper disciple, very learned also, but very humble, he told Raghunath Maharaj, he said, that is mental masturbation. Understand? So therefore, that is very risky. So one who preaches, but he becomes proud, I gave the example, one devotee, without any reading, you are so good in lecturing, it would be so impressive. But did he last? He did not last. On the other hand, it doesn't justify you, just because some are becoming proud by preaching, therefore when you have the knowledge, not to preach doesn't justify. That is also crime. One wrong does not make your act right. That can also be a wrong thing. Therefore, if you have the knowledge, rather than thinking that if I give, I will become proud like others, that itself is a pride also. You have to distribute that knowledge. In fact, you know, again, Radha Maharaj is saying, he said, one who does not take the responsibility, it doesn't matter if I know the art of speaking or not. Speaking is not preaching. One Christian monk says, it is one thing to love to preach, but another thing is to love to go those whom you preach. He said, that is much higher, and that is preaching. You may love to give big lectures, but actually to love to those whom you preach, said, that is completely a different thing. And preaching means that, extending ourselves. If you can't do that, then that is not preaching. But at the same time, the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhant, Lord Chaitanya means, by the mere fact of you becoming a senior, by the years also, there are some subordinate people, they would look, okay, why not give me some knowledge? And if you avoid giving that knowledge, that is a violence on your part. And to give knowledge, you have to be refined. You have to try to become refined. Therefore, everything ultimately leads to this thing. Preach and become pure. And in this only you can love God. Either you assist, preaching doesn't mean that giving lecture. That anyone can do. Anybody can preach. Giving lecture is not a big thing. That is not at all a big thing. Preaching means actually extending yourself to people, those who need. That means you have to give yourself to them, not take from them. And if unfortunately somebody is doing like that, he's not giving but he's taking in the name of preaching, and you see that and you feel that just a preacher, everybody becomes proud. That itself is a pride. That is a wrong analysis. Just because some gurus became, you know, some leaders fell down, therefore you can't abolish the whole system. Ritvik Bana the bus. Nobody should become guru because everybody falls down. Many have fallen down. That is not according to our Siddhanta. Siddhanta cannot be taken out. So therefore the preaching Siddhanta cannot be taken out. A leader has to be there, he has to preach. And you have ability or no ability. If you have the ability, that is very good. If you don't have the ability, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explains very beautifully. He said you are so hesitant because you have this, you know, kind of a thick tongue. He could not speak properly. But he put an effort to speak properly. And that is not the only thing. Along with that, he extended himself to preach. And only when you preach, actually it's a reality. It's a reality. Only when you preach, you actually understand what are the problems of people. And then based upon that, you give them advice. Not that you speak idealistic philosophy which nobody can follow. When you only practice and don't preach, you don't understand what is their level. You don't see their conditions. And therefore you give very high stuff which nobody can practice. You discourage everyone, you make everyone fallen, everybody low. And they feel, you know, that is my position, what can I do? I am not made for devotional service. And you walk out. You know, I just smashed everyone so badly. Huh? You don't interact with people. But a person who can interact with people, he can understand. Therefore Prabhupada said, why keep this cigarette between you and Krishna? Smoke one cigarette less a day. That is the regulative principle. No, regulative principle is not to smoke. But seeing that person's background, what is his level, the best thing he can practice is that he can smoke one cigarette less. That is the regulative principle for him. Narad Muni told Murugari, our principle is that no meat eating. For Murugari, Narad Muni told, don't kill half, kill full. Is it a principle? But again, seeing the background of the person, he is saying, because that person did not understand what is the difference between half killing and full killing. Narad Muni is explaining that immediate killing involves less violence, but half killing involves more violence, the animal suffers more. So better you want to kill, kill fully. And then slowly, 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 from full killing, Murugari became so sensitive, he would not step even on an ant. That's how it works. Prabhupada told in America, when you drink wine, think that that is Krishna. The taste of wine is Krishna. Prabhupada condemned wine drinking, which tastes like horse urine and sweat. That's what Sachinandan Maharaj was saying. But he was saying, even in that, if you think that it is good, think that it is the taste of, that is, the taste of that is Krishna. And by doing like that, one day, at some point of time, you will give up. Therefore, the preacher is like a Veda. In the Vedas, different levels are there. Worship ghosts, worship demigods, worship Kali, worship Chandi, and then there is worship of Krishna. But the principle of worship is there. Somebody has to be your authority. If you accept somebody as your authority, ultimately you come to the acceptance of highest authority. So therefore preaching is very important to know that people are from a different background. Otherwise it is quite natural that you don't preach and only practice. You'll always analyze everything from an observing point. And you'll always find faults with so many people. You'll never learn the art of what? Accommodating. If you're strictly practicing, you become harsh and never accommodate others. And if you're not strictly practicing, you water down everything. Therefore, practice and preach. That is the saving grace. Knowledge without kindness is what? We discussed it. It is harshness. It is cruel. And knowledge without spiritual touch is death. So all practices, but without compassion, you'll find everyone has a fault. All system has fault. But when you learn the art of becoming accommodating, you can imagine for Prabhupada, so high, never even, when he was 3 years old, the chicken soup could not enter into his mouth. Automatically vomited. To live with a malicious and yabana was not a small thing. It was a big compromise, big accommodating. When a man, Srila Prabhupada, never even ever looked at meat, he had to store his food in the same refrigerator where the host were keeping their cow's meat. And he said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, you tell them. That's how much he accommodated. Why? Because he could see. And therefore one Prabhupada's god brother, very nice, he spoke. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted many of his disciples to go. And one god brother said, Prabhupada, he told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I cannot go out to preach. I'll preach only in India. Because I have, my background is very orthodox. You are preaching. But if you want me to send to America, he said, for me it will be so difficult to accommodate there, so much of nonsense. He told, you need somebody who is very large hearted to preach in those countries. And therefore he only made the comment, he said, nectar is scarce, nectar is rarely available. But Prabhupada, our Swami Maharaj, he distributed nectar as if it was water. Now for water also you have to pay. So therefore one who does not preach, he cannot be compassionate, he has to be harsh, he has to be hard-hearted, he has to see faults in others. It is otherwise not possible. You go to big Vaishnava temples. Now because they are within their own atmosphere, within their own temples, whenever somebody comes, I remember when I used to go to my class, there was a temple, it was a Vishnu temple, and the pujari was a Vaishnava, and when he had to give a prasad or charanamrit to anybody who would come to him, and it was so harsh, I cannot forget his face. He dropped the charanamrit from so high, as if he is touching some dirty person. He had to give prasad, he would throw prasad at their hands, as if I will become contaminated. So what can we preach? He is so harsh, thinking that others are untouchables. Why Brahmanas became so harsh? Why they made others untouchable? Because they did not extend the compassion. They did not lift. And that is the difference between a Vaishnav and a Brahman. If you practice, you will only become a Brahman, not a Vaishnav. And there is all chances of Brahmana becoming harsh, becoming exclusive. Therefore, it is everybody's duty, it doesn't matter what is your background, to take some responsibility of preaching. Otherwise it is quite natural, you cannot avoid it. We have personally seen it, many brahmacharis go through that. I personally experienced it. When somebody comes, you will start seeing how many mistakes he has. But a preacher, when he starts preaching, he sees this spark. Between all the big garbage, he sees that small spark. He said, oh, here is this. And spark, find that spark. And with that spark, when it becomes fire, he knows the art of burning it out. This is only way you can avoid seeing faults and extend yourself by taking some responsibility of preaching. And maybe some preacher will become proud and Krishna will take care of them. All these years in the history of Vaishnavism, anybody who has become proud, Krishna has personally smashed them, smashed through material energy, Rup Narayan. So many people, everybody has smashed. So now also, it is not that Krishna is not watching. That is Krishna's responsibility. As Maharaj told Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, you do your duty. If your son does not become devotee, that is between Krishna and you. That's how it works. Sorry for the elaborate answer. I think we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.